Hello, everybody, and welcome to Grandfather's Radio. We got two grandfathers here to welcome you in today to share, to dig into this show, and old traditions, new ways. You know, so many things are coming up right now. Boy, in so many ways. I'm not sure where we can go with this show today, but we know there's a lot to say. And Rod is here with me. That would be Rod Laughing Bear, who now has his Earth name. And I think we will start the show today because we've been wondering about, okay, where do we want to go with this exactly today? And, of course, we never know exactly where we're going to go. It's up to you all. So Rod was thinking about this story he had, which to him kind of talked about what this show is going to be about. And it did to me, too, once he made me understand. So I'm going to pass this to Rod.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to everybody out there.
Hello, folks, and welcome again. All right, we've got some Hayoka medicine going on today. We've got Coyote here, or maybe Rod is the Coyote. I handed the phone to Rod, and he hung up with his ear. So we're going to try this again, and I will hold his ear back out of the way. Here we go, Rod. A little story about grandmother and her roast.
All right, we'll try this one more time now. Not hit the phone with my ear. You know, we were talking about traditions, and as we were talking about traditions, I began to think about what are traditions and why do we have traditions. And it came back, one of the things I was thinking about was grandmother's pot roast, the recipe of tradition. And one of the things I got to looking at is here is what made grandmother's pot roast so good? Was it the way it was cooked? Was it the pan it was put in, etc.? And so the old story kind of goes like this. It was Sunday afternoon, and the family was gathering, and the kids came in, and they asked Mom, "So, Mom, you getting ready to make Grandma's pot roast?" And Mom says, "Yeah, Grandma's pot roast, you know, traditional Sunday dinner." And so they were getting ready and gathering all the supplies, and they got ready to start cooking, and they looked over, and Mom's getting ready to cut the end off the roast like she always does. And so one of the kids looked up and said, "Mom, how come you always cut the end off the roast before you make pot roast?" And Mom looks at her and says, "Well, because Grandma did. That's the way the recipe goes." And they're like, "Well, why did she cut the end off the roast? It was a good roast." "Well, I'm not sure," she said. So she said, let's call Mom and ask Mom. So they called Mom. They said, "Mom, why did you always cut the end off the roast?" "Well, that was tradition. That was the way Grandmother and her mom made it. So why don't we call Grandma and ask her why she cut the end off the roast?" And so they get a hold of Grandma, and they're getting ready to talk to her, and they said, "Well, Grandma, we're getting ready to make your great pot roast recipe as tradition calls for, but it talks about cutting the end off the roast, and we're wondering why you always cut the end off the roast." And Grandma's response was, "Well, because the pan was too short." And so that is the basis of our story today. So one of the things that, you know, we have to look at is what is the primary purpose for some of our traditions? And if the end purpose for our traditions is for the spiritual development of all beings, the end result is to raise our vibrational level, thus resulting in raising the vibrational level of the whole planet and all things in it. But sometimes I think we get real confused with what our traditions are and what made Grandma's pot roast so good that it became a tradition. And the answer to that, to me, was it was the ingredients. It was the cut of the beef, it was the spices, and not the pan. The pan, or is sometimes, in this analogy, our way of doing our traditions. But it's the cut of the meat and the pot and all the spices that go in that make the pot roast. And that's the objective of the tradition, or the knowledge leading to the purpose of the tradition. So if knowledge is the primary purpose, which is to be the platform for the spiritual development of all beings, not only human beings, but all created beings, then the knowledge, which is the spices and how to cook the roast, has nothing to do with whether we cut off the end to fit the pan. It's what matters most. And the end result of is the traditional pot roast, is to feed the white wolf or the light within each heart. So if every piece of knowledge or tradition vanished and only the light within each heart remained, I believe that would be enough. And so as we begin to look around and we begin to look at some of our traditions, is it simply a means to the end, a good pot roast? So if that's the case, then what are the traditions? And as I got to thinking about this, I got to thinking, you know, the traditions are actually a way of keeping the people awake. It's a way of keeping us all in tune to increase the harmony and the peace within each and every one of us, so that at the end of the cycle, we can all awaken into this new earth of unity. So if our traditions are out there so that it keeps us in a good path, in a good way, then are the actual traditions as much of importance as the knowledge that is being placed into the traditions in order to get us to our end results? So with that, we'll put the talking stick in the middle.
And I'll try not to hang this thing up, folks. Excuse me. And I have bad allergies to boot. Yeah, we were sitting here chatting about some things we need to do as Sanctuaries of the Earth Mother, as three elders, since Sue was here as well. And we almost missed the timing on the show. So there's a lot going on today. It was fun earlier when I was talking to Rod on the phone, and we were talking about the show, and he explained that story to me, which I really liked. And then when I went upstairs to make some breakfast, my mother called, and I don't know if she's on yet. I could look. And one of the first things she said to me is, and Mom's 91, she's had a few walks around the sun, that she was without potatoes, but she had pulled some beef out and had cut it up and a bunch of veggies, and she hadn't made one in a long time, but she was making a pot roast. And I'm wondering if she still had a pot that was big enough. So sometimes when we remember these stories, they actually are tied in directly to what's going on in the here and now. And that's a good thing to remember as we go. You know, with customs and traditions and ways, boy, a bunch is coming up around that, and it sure needs to. Some of us who started on this road some time ago, remember when it was really, really difficult and you were questioned and challenged by folks who wondered, what in the hell are you doing on this road? Now, I walked the Good Red Road a long time now, over 30 years, but I also walked the road with some black friends. I've walked the road with brown friends, Mayan friends, Aborigine friends, and it has changed for the better, in my opinion. But there's still some of that there, like, okay, what do we do with old traditions and new ways? I saw a friend, Jim Beard from Arizona, had posted up something this morning, too. So let me just read this briefly. This is from Oren Lyons, Onagadaga. Times change, but principles do not. Times change, but lands do not. Times change, but our culture and our language remain the same. And that's what you have to keep intact. It's not what you wear. It's what's in your heart. Well, you know, I would have to say to Oren, who comes up with, he has some great stuff of his that I read. And yes, some things stay intact, but some things must also change. When I first started being in sweat lodges and Ipis, I was there invited and then later began to be taught. But even then, 30 years ago now, the Inipis were basically all men that I went to. There were a few lodges I knew about that were for women and women only. But almost never did we come together. And actually, the lodge that I was a part of was part of a university. And so we did begin to have men and women in there and different colors in there. We had many lodges that were truly the four colors represented. Is that diluting the customs and the ways? No, I don't think so at all. And I think there's room for both. Oren is correct. We do have to keep some of the past, but we also have to exchange and trade and teach our ways back and forth. Because that's what we're here for now. That is the biggest prophecy of all. The prophecy of the four colors coming together. How can we invite in the new earth in the best possible way if we don't pay attention to the prophecies, which, and these prophecies came to people of all colors, by the way, not just red or just white or just black or just yellow. Need to be able to mingle some of the customs and ways, even as we keep others intact. And in that way, I think we strengthen who we are and what we're doing. And let me put Rod on, see what his thoughts are on that, and I'll see if we have any comments coming yet.
Thanks, Jim. You know, as Jim was saying, one of the things I really believe that is now is the time to look at is, why do we have our traditions? You know, what is the purpose behind them? And what happens if we take our traditions and we make our traditions so rigid that they actually become cages? That's, to me, is one of the big things that I'm seeing right now. You know, if the reason for the tradition is so that we have a good pot roast, using that analogy, in the end, then what is really important is not the pan and the size of the pan, which would be how we, you know, relating that to how we actually do our traditions, what are the physical things that we're doing to withhold these traditions, versus what is it that really makes a good pot roast. And what really makes a good pot roast is going to come in, that's the spices that you add in, that's the cut of beef that you use. In other words, it's the knowledge that we're using that is making up the tradition that we're trying to keep, is the knowledge, not the other parts of how you actually put it in the pan. So if it's the knowledge we're trying to keep, is the knowledge worth, in the end, the cost of maybe starting to take some traditions and to exchange them in certain areas so that they meet a more modern time? Is it really so significant now to be to be so preoccupied with the actual cooking process, of the actual ways that we're doing it, versus the knowledge that we're trying to instill in the hearts of the next generation and the generation and the next generation, you know, going down seven generations? Are we getting so rigid, or have we been so rigid, that the knowledge is being lost because of the fact that we're putting the emphasis more on the traditional ways versus the knowledge in our hearts? Because what is that purpose? You know, why is it we even want to keep tradition? What is it that impels, you know, drives us and keeps us going on tradition? If the end result is to feed the white wolf, then that's the light within each and every one of our hearts. And what happens if every piece of knowledge in the traditions would vanish? What happens if the knowledge that we hold so precious, what happens if our traditions that we're holding so precious, what if they vanish? Then what do we have left? Because if our focus is simply on the knowledge of the tradition and the way of doing something, and if that, because of that, begins to go away, then what about the knowledge? Where does that knowledge fit in? It's the knowledge that we're trying to get across and to preserve with our traditions is the light within each and feeding the white wolf in our hearts. Would, if we can lose the traditions but keep the light within each heart and have that become something that is growing and expanding, would that not be enough? In other words, is our end result more worth more than the actual rigid standards of trying to have our traditions? So, because if our traditions is for a spiritual development of all beings, then the end result of that spiritual development is to raise our vibrational level, which then results in raising the vibrational level of the whole planet until spirit and matter merge into what we call the new earth, or a new state of being. And I believe that's what we're all coming for. And there's many of us that are coming from many different traditions and many different ways and walks of life. But we're all coming, I believe, the ones that are coming to this, particular radio show and the things that we're working with and doing are the ones who are coming because of the light that is within each and every heart, or the white wolf that is within. And that needs to, I believe, become more of our focus, is are we having the lights shine, or are we taking our traditions and actually building cages around these principles? So is the light in the heart that matters? Is it the light in the heart that matters? You know, let's not use traditions to build the cages and imprison the white wolf. The light, and you know, the light is out there and needs to be limitless, so it can be free to roam and connect with others. And to me, that's what I'm seeing with the prophecies are, is to begin to bring all the different teachings, all the different cultures together, to where we start to become one-minded and begin to understand the unity of all being one. So with that, I'll put the talking stick in the middle.
I've got the talking stick. I'm just sitting with it for a moment. When we do these shows, it's not like we have to fill the air every second. So I'm feeling energy from folks, and I was just posting the show around. And I'm also picking up on some things that were being said. There's a good number of people on message board, but not many showing up on the chat box today, which is fine. You guys might be listening and not wish to talk. Someone popped up on message board, which I'm trying to facilitate, and I'm going to paraphrase things that are being said right now, because trying to copy and paste all these things, especially if there's no one there at the moment, at least visible, takes too much time and energy. So we just had someone on named John who identified himself as Lakota. Welcome, John, who is disagreeing what we're saying here so far. And he wants to know why, again, believe me, I'm paraphrasing. I could go read exact words, but let's try this. He wants to know why everyone wants to steal his people's customs. And, okay, John, I get that. Been hearing that for a lot of years, and not just from your people. I assume you mean Lakota, but you may mean the Red Nations in general. Either way, John, I got a lot more of it earlier when I first got on this road, but I understand and appreciate someone feeling that way. I understand what was done. I understand what people have been put through. I ask you to kind of remember that all people have been put through things. Some pretty horrific things. Maybe not as horrible as what was done to the red people here in the U.S., but some just as horrible. The Holocaust comes to mind, as do other people who was persecuted in the past. I don't think anyone is stealing anything. The things have to be freely offered. When I was taught, when I was brought into the lodges, when I was sent up on the mountain by Two Bears and his cousin Frank up in the Black Hills, for my first vision quest, when I was taught how to carry the chinupa and how to open the sacred pipe, none of that did I steal. None of that did I really ask for. It was offered to me. Did I wish to learn more? And so I've dedicated a lot of my time in life to learning those customs. I share those out as I go around, as I was told to by my teachers. I share out the customs of the Mayan people that I was gifted. I share out the customs of the Aborigine people and the African people that I was given. None to be stolen, all to be reinforced, John. And I totally respect if you want to go into lodge with just your brothers, or just your brothers and sisters of your nation or your community or your clan. There's nothing wrong with that. I know lots of friends who do that. But possibly you might want to open up and do some of that with others at times as well, and just see how it feels. Here we just recently built in Anipi. I have not had a lodge of my own for some time. I've poured in other lodges, and I've said this in other shows. But the time was right, and it's actually on Rod's land, so there's energy there that's belongs. And we're a very mixed group. And in the first lodge we had there, the first time we opened it, we had people talking and singing in Lakota, in English, in Spanish, in Cherokee, in Cree, and I forget all what else. It was very mixed, and it was very powerful, John. Just as powerful as when I've sat in lodge with my uncles and my brothers, who are Lakota, and they've been only Lakota, somewhere when I was being taught. So that's my thoughts. See if Rod has anything on that.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. That's really, really interesting. You know, this is a huge part that I believe we're seeing, and that deals and comes back and around to traditions. And that's why I was saying, if traditions are a way of keeping people awake and increasing their harmony and peace within them, so that at the end of their life cycle, they can awaken, or that cycle that they're going through, that they can awaken into a new earth of unity mentality, then that's what I believe we need to put our focus on. Whereas, instead of just the traditions themselves, we need to look at why do we have traditions? Why are we keeping them? And if we're keeping them to increase people's awareness and help them awaken, then we need to put our focus back on the reasons versus the ways, in my opinion. That's what I see. Another way, I'll give you another analogy that might work better. The analogy of the garden. We'll call it the infinite garden. And in this garden, the people are the plants. So each one of us people, we're a plant. And it's the light or the white wolf in each of us that is the seed in our hearts for this plant. So if we're a plant, the main purpose, what is the main purpose of a plant? The main purpose of a plant is to produce seed. Because once it produces seed, then it ensures future generations of its, of its type. And so if we people are the plants and the light is the white wolf in each of us, then it's the seed in our hearts that we're actually trying to apply and to grow. And if we take that seed, we can take this analogy and we can apply the water, which is knowledge, to keep our plants alive the best we can. So we can take the knowledge that we have to be feeding ourselves in this analogy of the garden. And there comes a time that the plant of all plants, there comes a time in a plant's life when it takes all the energy, it takes all of its growth, it takes everything that it has been up to that point and begins to put all of that knowledge and all of those things that it has become, all of its strength, into growing its seed. And that seed, again, being the light or the white wolf within. And then as that seed matures, assuring its survival in the future seasons and generations, the plant itself returns to the Earth Mother and is gone. And we can look at this in how we come through living many different walks upon this earth. And we walk, I believe, it's been shown to me and through past life regressions, beginning able to begin to see even more and more, that many of us have come and we've been a plant, and that plant has returned to the Mother Earth. But the reason that we have come and walked many walks is so that we can be adding to and growing to the seed or the light, which is the white wolf within. Now, as each walk goes through and as each season unfolds, we return each and every time back to the Earth Mother. And the plant or the physical person is gone. But that seed that was in our hearts, we return to life after life, walk after walk. So as the plant is only important until the seed appears, so knowledge and the traditions that go with them are only important until the light or the white wolf begins to shine in our hearts. So I would conclude that with, it is the light in our hearts or the white wolf that we're feeding that matters. So let's not use the traditions to build the cages and imprison that white wolf in the light, that thus limiting its freedom to roam and connect with the others, so we can all begin to grow in the garden, per se, of life. Talking stick?
Yep. Comments welcome as we go along, folks. And I realized, because Sue told me, it was time change last night. And I usually carefully mention that. people are showing up now on chat box and message board because of the whole time thing. So there's a lot of Hayoka going on in this show today, a lot of Coyote. And let's welcome that in and appreciate it, whatever color we are. Yeah, you know, and Rod and I talk from different perspectives on this, which helps a lot. And then you all out there, the more you're willing to say, the better it works, because we start to bring in all the thoughts on this. And so Running Elk is here with 13 people from the res. Jonathan just came on a minute ago from Australia. Welcome to you all. And there's some other folks there on message board I don't know. If you wish to speak, pardon me, feel free to type in your questions. I go periodically and look. So Running Elk was saying that up on the res, things are usually done in the traditional way, but even there, that there's changes. Again, I'm paraphrasing. He wrote quite a bit. And I can post some of that on the Facebook groups after the show. That even now, things on the res are changing because they realize it has to change. He's got three elders with him today. I hope they speak up as we go along. I invite you to. Certainly don't have to. But it's really important that we hear from the elders and we hear, how do we make these changes? I know my primary teacher, Two Bears, is still alive. He's quite ill. He's quite old. And he's on the West Coast now with family. But in his view of what was going to happen, big changes had to occur. And we're seeing them all around us. I think now the other point of this is, and I remember him sitting and telling me many times, just came to me, not only would it be critical to share these things so we share the customs and the ceremonies and the teachings, which originally came from one source. They were divided up when things were starting to go in a dark direction way back when, so that each group, red man, white man, black man, yellow man, would take care of some part of the customs. But when this time came, it wasn't only to bring those back together, but it was to help everyone who was trying to finish their healing and step up into the new light. These are difficult times. There's a lot of fear out there. There's a lot of insanity out there. There's a lot of anger out there. And so when we share these customs, it really, really helps. I know when I go into a sweat lodge, whether I'm pouring it or somebody else is pouring it, it doesn't matter whether I sit the fire and carry the rocks. Afterwards is the most peaceful time of my soul of any point in my day, my week, my month, my year. There's a certain energy and value to all these ceremonies. Likewise, when I do a lodge in the tradition of my Mayan family, I get a certain spirit, certain sense of ease, a clarity, an understanding of what we're to do next after I do those. That is what we need to share. And all the other customs we don't know from each other. I was talking with Rod the other day that in no way do we all have to know and understand in great depth the teachings, the spiritual teachings. And I've spent a lot of years learning them from around the globe. Excuse me. But I understand, I only know a small portion of them. And that's because we all carry some of it. So if someone else is better, be they red, white, black, or yellow, to stand up and provide a certain element of it, hey, let's go for it. The parts I know, I'm happy to stand up and share. If I reach one person, I'm thrilled. On the parts I don't know, I just want to sit and listen. We have a young man here in the area in Colorado who's been doing some things with us lately and who did a beautiful teaching on rocks and crystals a week ago. A week or so ago. I know a certain amount about rocks and crystals. I was taught quite a bit by some of my teachers in Central America, but I haven't gone into huge, great depth on it. So just listening to him and the way he put it, I learned a lot of things that were totally new to me. And so it's not about hoarding what we have. It's definitely about sharing what we have. Let's share openly. Those who are not ready, those who can't, and this is what Running Elk was saying, those who are not ready, don't try to force them because you can't. And that's absolutely correct. We can't force anyone to do anything here. And if we tried, we'd be in the dark wolf anyway. So what would we gain? Nothing. But let's welcome all who are ready, even for the ones it's difficult. And I know some of the elders who find it very difficult to share. But I know others who said they would never share and then found it extremely difficult to share and now love it. I was messaging with someone the other day who is now 89 years old. I knew him back in the day when I was working with Two Bears. And I'll just call him Hank because I haven't gotten permission to speak about what he's doing. Wonderful, wonderful man. Taught me a lot. He was quite strict with me. And I appreciated that because I needed it. I was too scattered. I wanted to learn everything at once. But anyway, he is now sitting and he is teaching the really young ones. And not just the young ones of his community. He's teaching people from the schools, from the white schools and the Hispanic schools that are around him. He's in California. I think that's perfect. And when I knew him earlier on in the physical realm, that would have never happened. Trust me, it simply would not happen. He only tolerated me because of Two Bears. They were very close. So these are shifts that are happening. I believe they're good shifts, positive shifts. Maybe we'll dig a little bit into one that I posted a couple things on Facebook and it really took off. And that's the custom of, because it's typical of many other traditions and customs, of women drumming. So if we have women listening in, I would love to hear your opinion. We had a drum circle about a week ago and still had folks who thought women ought not drum. Again, I respect that. I know where it came from. But do we still want to do these things? And I know Ryan had thoughts on that, so I'm going to shift back.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, one of the things I was contemplating as we were getting ready for this show and asking Great Spirit to show me some things that he wanted to be brought out here tonight. And one of the things I believe he began to show me was what is the root of the tradition. And if the root of the tradition is, again, to preserve the knowledge so that each and every person can begin to find that white wolf within themselves, I believe that's the very basis of each tradition. And if that is the case, then we can kind of look at a tree. And if we look at the tradition as a tree, the tradition becomes the root. So there is a place to hold the standards of the tradition, which then become the root of the tree, because without a good root, without a good source, that tree will blow over when the first strong wind comes. So, yes, we do need the structure and those who hold the structures and keep the structures of the traditions so that there is a good solid foundation. But then we must let the tree grow. And when that tree grows, it's going to go up. It's going to have branches, which are going to have more branches, which are going to have leaves, which is going to give it this great huge canopy that is then going to bring down protection, provide shelter, et cetera, for all living things that come into its area. But what happens is if we restrict the growth of the tree by binding the roots too tightly, that tree will never have a chance to flourish and give the canopy that will give the cover, the freedom, the food, the home for so many different creatures who will come and partake of the awesomeness of that tree. So again, is there a place for having the structure? Yes. We've got to have a good solid foundation that we base it upon. If that solid foundation, though, is the knowledge that we're basing the tradition upon, do we want to restrict that knowledge or do we want to let that knowledge flourish into whatever size tree that it was meant to become? Talking stick in the middle.
Yeah, we're having trouble with the communications here today, so we're doing the best we can. Chat box was down for me for a bit, now it's back up, and now the message board is down, so I'll wait for that to come back up. Pardon me. Yeah, the drumming thing. One of the women with Running Elk came on just before that came down, and she was typing more, but she started and sang when she was younger, She did not drum. That was the custom of her people. It still is the custom with many. But now there are women drum circles on the res, and that brings in a whole different energy. And, yeah, that's exactly right. When Sue and I tour around, we, you know, with our big drum, Hoop of Many Colors, which is a community healing drum, we often go on reservations as well. And I'm thinking about when we went some years ago, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, on Navajo land at first, and we brought the drum. The first time we did a circle there, none of the women drummed, other than Sue and one other woman who was there who was also white, but lived there on the res. By the time we went the second time, a couple of them stepped up and drummed. And by the next time, we had a whole contingent of women drumming. It was actually more women than men, although a couple of the older men came in, and they were curious what was going on, and we were curious what was going to happen. And it was fine. One of them actually sat at the drum and began to drum. That was a really beautiful thing to see, because, again, I don't think that's diluting or polluting the customs of any one culture. It is, in fact, strengthening it and broadening it. As Rod said, it's like the tree growing and the shoots going up. Someone else had asked, and I didn't get the name, and I can't bring up message board at the moment. What was I talking about, in effect, that some of these things were protected by various peoples in the past? Okay, so when past Earths happened, this is the way the story's been told me. I'm sure there's many other versions. Feel free to type them out if you wish. When we were working with past Earths, and when in this Earth as well, some things happened where people were persecuted or prosecuted. And when the new Earths were coming and we were going through ice ages and other things, and people began to migrate. Migration was the big thing in any of the new Earths. People moved around. Now, that's shifted now, and we've talked about that. You can go find other radio shows on that. There's too many of us now to all be migrating. But some of us still travel around and carry the word. But when that was happening, different people were given the responsibility to be responsible for, boy, there was a lousy sentence, responsibility to take into their care some portion of the teaching, of the knowledge, of the wisdom of all people. The Lakota, it was said, and this is from my Lakota teachers, they were given the responsibility of protecting and guarding the ceremonies, all the ceremonies of the Red Nations. And some of the other ceremonies, I've also been told, that had come into their ways, some from Central America, some from Canada, not all just red, but primarily the red Lakota ceremonies, the ceremonies brought from White Buffalo Calf Woman, who, if you know those stories, White Buffalo Calf Woman brought the sacred pipe, the Chinupa, but also the seven other sacred customs, including the sweat lodge. So it was for them to guard those ceremonies, and they've done it incredibly well, incredibly well. In fact, now if you look at many tribes around the U.S., I'm not sure about Canada and other places, so I wouldn't speak to that, but if you look at tribes around the U.S., a lot of those tribes, a lot of those nations lost their customs, lost their ceremonies, and yet now they have the ceremonies. And why is that? Because they went back to the Lakota to get those ceremonies from them again. And so the ceremonies they got may not have been exactly what they had. I'm thinking about the Mountain Ute, for example. I know they went back to the Lakota in the past to recapture their ceremonies, so they might have changed some there. Because the way I'm sure that my Lakota friends and family would protect and honor a custom and use a custom or a ceremony would probably be different than any other tribe. There is no one complete way to do it. Every lodge I've been in has been different. Every pipe I've opened or others has been different. And so there is no one particular way, although there are some guidelines, yes. And so in many ways, the Lakota already have done the job or part of it of redistributing the ceremonies that have been lost. Now we're asking for the next step, I guess. Take it out not only to red, but white, black, yellow, all the other nations. Do it with honor. Do it with respect. Be proud that was your job. And I don't care, again, if this is Lakota carrying the ceremonies or the white nation carrying their part or the yellow nation carrying theirs. We all should be stepping up now. Forget the hate. Don't forget things that were done. I'm not saying to try to erase history. That's not the point. But forget the hate that's carried over and step up with pride and integrity and bring forth those parts that we were asked to protect. We don't have to protect them anymore. Now we have to come together in circle and jointly protect everything because the darkness around us is pretty intense. We have got to be able to shine the light together now. And I think that's the point of the four colors coming together and changing the customs. And I'm out of wind. Back to Rod.
Well, thanks, Jim. Yeah, I think that's absolutely right on target because as I'm sitting here listening to what Jim was saying, I'm reminded of what is the purpose of having a tradition, keeping a tradition? Is it the tradition itself or is it the knowledge behind the tradition that brings the white wolf out in each and every heart? If the tradition is not to bring the white wolf out and to bring the light of the heart to the forefront, then what is the use of the tradition? It begins to get blurred, I believe. And so I think we need to start looking at some things. Someone like myself coming from the traditions I was raised in, but now coming back to the more indigenous traditions of the native way of walking upon this earth in this life, what is it that I might be doing that is causing others to begin to be upset? And I look at some of this and stuff, and I really would like to be able to bring to the forefront some things of maybe of looking at, are we walking in unconditional love with our traditions? Are we walking in unconditional love because of the knowledge that our traditions represent? Or are we instead getting angry that others are, stealing this or stealing that with the tradition, or we shouldn't be doing this or we shouldn't be doing that because of the color of paint that I'm wearing on this particular walk? Boy, that just really doesn't make sense to me in the eyes of unconditional love and the reason for a tradition to be there in the first place, which is to bring the light forward. So if that would be the case, then what is happening with unconditional love in these instances? I mean, are we truly walking the purpose that we are to walk with these, with our traditions and with the teachings of our traditions? Because it leads back to unforgiveness is the big thing that I'm seeing. And unforgiveness for a past, whether it's a past for a nation, a past for a color, a past for a race, a past for just yourself individually, not walking in unconditional love will definitely, in my opinion, not bring a white wolf forward and will not bring a light in our hearts. So is it time to begin to walk with unconditional love? And you can't walk with unconditional love if you're walking with unforgiveness. So there's a time, I believe, that where we're walking now for the four colors to come together, I think a main point upon that path is going to be where we begin to come and lay down the unforgiveness that we might have for things that have happened and taken place. Talking stick in the middle.
So we're doing a lot of talking today because not too many of you are for a change, but that's fine. Doesn't really matter. I see Sue put up, when I realized how important Native spirituality was to me, I started to search and learn for the traditional teachings. It's important to have a foundation to learn from and grow. Yeah, I think that's a great point, and I think that's part of what we've been trying to say here today, but Sue just did it in a very compact form. I did the same thing, and not just Native teachings. As I started moving around the planet and working with different folks of different cultures, I realized how important that is. And so that's why today, and I think I said it earlier, but maybe not, I totally honor and respect the traditions that I was taught. Certainly Lakota, which is my primary on the spiritual road, but the Mayan and the Aborigine and the African, Garifuna, and the others that I've been gifted with. And so at times, and I have learned each one of them in their own right, so that then I could begin to combine them at times. So at times I will. There will be times, for example, when we go to our Anipi here, which is the Bear Lodge, that I will do a totally traditional Lakota Lodge. Traditional, at least in the four doors and what's in each door and the songs I do and when I open the chinupa, blah, blah, blah. Not necessarily traditional who's in there, although that's gone away now because most lodges I see are men and women together. But there'll be other times we will have non-traditional lodges, and I offer the drum around for others to sing. And I know that a lot of traditional lodges, only the water pourer sang the songs. Well, that doesn't really make sense to me, you know. If people want to share their spirit that way, then that's good. When I open the chinupa, sometimes I do it in the totally traditional way, the directions in the way I was taught, and other times I will invite someone to do it with me. Both are good, but I think Sue's right. It's really good to learn and to get a base from the traditional ways, from the ways they were, because then you also understand as things are layered on. When I combine a Mayan ceremony with a Lakota ceremony, it's nice to know what the two of those are independently. Now, maybe those coming up behind us won't need that as much. Maybe they will. I know many Lakota elders that I've worked with have bemoaned the fact that their young people don't want to learn the customs anymore, and not just them. Many of the Garifuna, which are the African folks in Central and South America, would yell about the same thing. Oh, our kids don't want to sit and learn and listen. And I think that's another great indicator that we need to change some things. Hopefully that the young ones get interested enough to actually sit and learn them in the traditional way, but to know that they can also go ahead and experiment a little. Go ahead and open your prayer to Wanka Tonka a different way. Go ahead and talk to Creator a different way for the circle. Because each way is praising ourselves, our circles, everything on the earth, Creator, everything above. So, thanks, Sue. That was a good one. Let's see if Rodney has anything on that.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Yeah, I believe it really comes down again to, you know, what is the purpose? Why do we have a tradition? Why do we keep traditions, and why do we try to pass our traditions down? Because if the primary purpose of having that tradition is to have a platform for the spiritual development of all beings, then that is what I believe. That should be what the main purpose should be fundamentally based upon. Is it the teachings and how we go about the teachings of, do I turn right, do I turn left, do I stand up, do I sit down? Are those quite as important as myself getting the fact that there's a white wolf inside, or there's a light within my heart that needs to be illuminated, that needs to be fed, that needs to be brought to the forefront? Because that, to me, is the unconditional love, and that, to me, is also the knowledge that will take us into the next earth and open up the doors and open up the different ones who are here and ready to move forward into this next realm of living. The way we're walking now and the way we're going forth, back and forth with things, boy, especially in our country with the traditions and values that are just being changed and falling apart on a daily basis. I mean, every time we look, what was up is now down, what was right is left. Everything is changing and everything is moving about. And to be stagnant is to stop growth. So to be stagnant and to build a cage around our traditions, around our different beliefs, I don't see where that is going to feed the white wolf at this time. I don't see where it's going to let the lights in each and every heart shine brighter. But going out with unconditional love, going out and welcoming in all, each and every one, no matter, and to unconditionally begin to love ourselves and to drop our own history. You know, we talk about forgiveness, but yet I think so many times we don't have a good basis maybe or an understanding of forgiveness. And the way the traditions I was taught, to forgive means to send away. Well, if you send something away, then that means it hasn't happened. It hasn't taken place. So we change our past. We change our individual path. And we change the past of the path that we walked upon to be gone. So to truly walk in unconditional love, I believe, means then to also walk in total forgiveness. And you can't walk in forgiveness and unconditional love if you're still holding on to past hurts, past ways, and past things. So I believe it is time that we begin to look at new ways of walking forward into this new earth, of letting go of all these different things that have happened. And one of the things that I've looked at before and I've talked about before is how do we truly know? You know, if at this current life, at this current time, if we're wearing white paint, if we're wearing red paint, if we're wearing black paint, if we're wearing yellow paint, brown paint, doesn't matter what color paint we're wearing in this walk and in this life. What matters is what is the knowledge, what is the basis for this life. And if the basis for this life is to feed the white wolf so that our lights in our hearts might shine and we begin to walk in unity as one, then I believe it's kind of time to start letting go of some of these things that we're carrying forth in our traditions. If our traditions are, well, this race did this to me, or that race did you know, this and that and this and that. We can go on forever and list these things out. But when does the time come when we sit down and look and say, what color might I have been at one time in my life when one color was doing something to another color? Was I white when the slavery was going on with the black? Was I red when the things were coming down from the whites to the red nations? I mean, how do we truly know what color we have walked with or might have been walking with in those times? And is it truly about the things that took place, or is it more about the lessons that were learned so that we can come to this time and put these things down and begin to lay down our armor and begin to walk arm in arm with our brother? To me, that is where our traditions can either play a part or can build the cage or can free the tree, per se. So with that, I'll put the talking stick in the middle.
And so, my friend Karen, who I guess generally listens on the message board and got thrown off. Yeah, the message board is missing. I'm sorry, Karen. But anyway, she sent me, being creative, she went to Facebook and messaged me there. And so her thing is, it is our differences we need to share, not our similarities. And yeah, that's exactly right. If we just share the ways we're similar, I mean, that's nice, we get an understanding, but it's the differences that make the difference. It's the differences that help round us out. And so I was thinking back as I was reading that from her, as I did ceremonies early on and was learning about different customs, and I would welcome different people into these ceremonies, and so would my teachers. And those who were pouring water in the sweat lodge, they would welcome in very different people. And we found out not how different they were, but how similar they were. So then it really became important to find the things we were different or which the other did not know and share those. I can remember when some of my Lakota and Blackfoot friends went with me on a trip to Belize in Central America and sat with my Mayan family there. They were all amazed at some of the similarities and customs, but then they also had great fun and great joy in sharing the customs and ceremonies that only one of the two had. So, yeah, I think you're right, Karen. It's digging deep. It's sharing the things that even maybe we think they've been ours to guard and protect And so we don't want to let our guard down. We don't want to put our swords on the ground. You know, we're still in that fearful, oh, my goodness, what will happen if we share it way. Those are the ones we need to share, and they're the hardest ones to share. It's very easy for me to sit and talk to somebody who has a similar custom to mine and go back and forth. It's not as easy when they're different. And, you know, that's with everything we're dealing with right now. I had to get up for a moment and leave the room, and as I did, I'm just thinking, and Rod and I are doing a lot together now with Sue and with some other people around here for our nonprofit, Sanctuaries of the Earth Mother, which commercial, go check out the website, www.sotem.org. See what we're doing. But as I went out, Rod was reading some things he'd written in his book here. Rod functions that way. And we have other differences. But he'll make a lot of notes when we're going to do something. And I do the exact opposite. I have my heart and spirit open and probably my brain empty. And I just go in and I start listening, and what I need to hear comes to me, and what I need to say comes to me. And so two different paths to get to the same thing. One is his custom, one is my custom. And when we combine them, we have a stronger, united custom. Even in our roads, and I'm using us for an example now because I don't have to ask permission of anybody. Rod was involved with religion for a much longer time, albeit a kind of a left-field version of religion. I don't know. He was not traditional down-the-road religion, but he was in religion for a long time. Rod can sit here and he can quote the Bible all day long if you want him to. I couldn't tell you. I could probably only tell you the last word in the Bible. I assume it's amen. Maybe that's wrong. I got out of religion very early on and started on the spiritual road after a long gap of nothing. And so here now we have two different ways. Is his right and mine wrong, or mine right and his wrong? Neither. We're now combining them. Rod wants to learn more of the spiritual, but he can do more with people still in the confines of religion. And I don't say that in a negative or a positive way. Where I cannot, because I can't talk their talk. So I can't make them comfortable. I can make them comfortable once they join a spiritual walk. And so it's the same between the cultures. When I first started, once again, I was scared to death by a lot of these ceremonies, teachings, customs, because I felt so inadequate and so weird, the only white guy in the mix quite often. And we don't want anyone to feel that way now as the four colors come together. So, let's see where we're at. Oh, I still have no message board up. And I do have the chat board, nothing else there. I see we have a minute or two left. I think I'm complete for today. Yeah, I think I'm complete in what I want to share. So I think I'll give it to Rod and we'll let him finish this out. He may want to dance for you all. I'm not sure. Here we go to Rod. Thank you all for being here. If you got anything from the show, feel free to spread it with friends. If you come on later, which I have a suspicion is going to be a number of you, because I also got a couple messages on Facebook that people wanted to know what time we were going to start. I totally forgot the time change, and so I did not warn people. You apologize. Listen to the archive show. And if we need to do something on this again, we'd be happy to do it. Here's the other grandfather.
Well, thanks, Jim. I would just conclude it with kind of what we've been talking about. What is the reason for having traditions? Again, if the reason for having a tradition is so that we can feed the white wolf and light the fire or the light within each heart, then that should be the main purpose. And if it's the light in the heart that matters, or feeding the white wolf that matters, then let's not use traditions and build cages and imprison that white wolf or that light and limit its freedom to roam and connect with all the other colors and people upon this earth and upon all the other species and beings that are also out there. So that would be mine. Let's not use our traditions to build cages. So with that, we'll let everyone go and hope everybody has an awesome Sunday.
Okay, thanks again, all. We will see you next Sunday. I'm not sure what the show will be. It'll probably be Sue and the Women's Hour, or maybe it'll be Circle Radio. Whatever it is, listen in. You'll see we'll post the show before then. And as I will go with Rod. Have a great day. Go enjoy the outdoors a little bit. And just think about what we said. Bye.